be using our hymn books this morning. We'll sing a bunch of choruses there in the back of the hymn book. Let's turn to 727. 727.
Thank you.
Okay, good. All right, I'm going to join you in singing an echo part. Here we go.
Thank you.
756. Cheer up, these things of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Right after Proverbs. All right. Did anyone learn it and want to say it? Go ahead, Sarah.
Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 and 10. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It has been already of old time,
which
was before us.
Amen.
There we go. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Go ahead.
Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done. And is there any new thing under the sun? Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us.
All right, yeah. Good. Okay. We'll say it together. Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already a whole time, which was before us. All right. Okay. Master?
All right. So I have a few announcements to make. Okay, regarding the Lord's Supper, I was praying and talking to a few men about how to go about it. I don't think that we should stop taking the Lord's Supper. And one of the reasons is this scripture here in 1 Timothy came to my mind regarding it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you want to look at it with me, verse number 4, it says, "For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So that verse comes to my mind as far as continuing on trying to do the Lord's Supper, concerning the circumstances that we're living in now concerning COVID and all that. So what I'd like to be done this evening is the ladies that prepare will be wearing gloves. We have gloves downstairs that's been provided. So they'll prepare it with gloves on. And then this evening when we administer it, those that will be passing out will be wearing gloves as well. And so they'll hand you the bread and they'll hand you the cup, those with the gloves on. I looked into some other ways to do it, but it's quite expensive. And I really don't want to get away from the matzah bread that we use for it because it represents the Lord Jesus Christ. So if anybody's uncomfortable with taking it because of the situation, I completely understand. It's between you and the Lord. But I think those that would like to take it, I think we should provide an opportunity as a church for those that would like to take it, because there are some that talk to me about it and they would like to take it, to provide that opportunity for them. So whatever's clear but with you before God, then you go with that. But we will be doing that this evening, and that's some of the precautions that I believe is wise to take, and then we pray. Pray that God protects us when we take it, just as if we pray for any food that we eat that's prepared, that we prepare and others prepare for us. Okay? Now we just trust God in it. So that's that. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll have a baptism. Sister Erica is going to get baptized. So this will be my first baptism. So keep me in prayer with that. Keep Erica in prayer with that. That nothing happens to her when we baptize. No. But seriously, yeah, just keep her in prayer. Keep that in prayer. We'll have to get that baptismal set up. Again, I have no clue how we do that. But we'll try to get that set up downstairs for her next week. I believe that your parents are going to try to come on up. Lord willing.
I talked to my mom. I don't know if they're going to come
up
because of pending weather.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And keep that in prayer. Maybe the Lord will allow the weather get pushed out for that Sunday, and they'll be able to attend to see that baptism. Another thing that's been laid on my heart, too, that I want you to keep in prayer is this, men preaching. Okay? I believe this, and I believe the way I was trained or saw things done in a church down there in South Carolina. I think it's a blessing when you can have men in your church fill the pulpit. All right? I believe it's right. And somebody might say, well, I can't preach and I can't teach. Good, you're in the right spot then. Serious. I'm dead serious, and I'm more serious on that than anything I've said. Preacher, well, I can't do that. Good, then maybe you can. Because that's the mindset you should have if a pastor asks you to preach or fill in. That should be your mindset. I can't do it. But if I believe, I trust my pastor down there in South Carolina when times he'd ask me to preach that he was getting along with God and God laid that individual on his heart to fill in for him. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe it does a few things. I believe it does something for the individual that's got to preach or teach. It means you got to get alone with God and get something from God's word in order to give to the people. So don't be surprised. I'm not sure yet how I might implement it or do it, but don't be surprised if I ask somebody to preach. That's from this church to fill in why I can't be here. I just think it's right. I think if there's men in the church, now if there's no men in the church, obviously we're stuck. You know, I'm not going to have the woman come up here and fill the pulpit. But if you have men in the church, I believe that if the Lord's laid it upon the pastor's heart and God's leading and directing in it, then I believe God will give you something. I don't know about you, brethren, but some of the messages, the one message that I got saved on, a man was fumbling all around. He was fumbling all. If you were to judge it by man's judgment of preaching, it was probably one of the worst sermons ever preached. But God was all in it because he did it with humility. And he was just trying to get alone with God and give. And he was so nervous and he was fumbling over his words. But God was dealing with my heart through that whole thing. It had nothing to do with him. It had just the humility, I think, there that God got in on that thing. So I just want to make you aware of that also. So if one Wednesday night you come in here and it's not somebody that you're used to, and I thank God for the men that have been able to fill in these last 3.5 years, thank the Lord for them. But I believe now that we should start taking the next steps of, if we can possibly, some men start filling in a little here, a little there, to take up that slack. I think it's the right thing to do. So just keep that in prayer. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Regarding that, because the word also says that if a man is going to preach or teach, he should be found faithful.
Amen.
So, is it that, if you do ask someone to teach or preach, shouldn't they be also found faithful?
Yeah, actually, I'm just going to go out there and pick some up. No, sister. No, serious. No, I understand that. I get that.
Because,
okay, so let me give you a scenario, sister. That might be the exact person that needs to get up and preach. See, look, this is part of and I've seen God do this in my own life, and I've seen God do it in the lives of others in the church down there. See, we get in our mindset, we picture, okay, this is what needs to be done, this is how it needs to be done, but God might be doing something different. See, we may think that whoever gets behind a pulpit, they need to preach to help the church. Well, the person who might need to be to help is the one behind a pulpit. Do you see what I'm saying? But see, sometimes if we get caught in traditions, that's where you need to pray for me and trust me that the Lord will put up here you what I have to put up, to preach. Now look, what it also does is it pulls out jealousy. Amen. Why ain't the preacher asking me to preach? And brethren, I'm not giving you something I haven't thought myself down in that church 20 years ago. There's times the devil will come in your head. Yeah, you've been faithful. Why in the world is a preacher having him preach? Doesn't he know what's going on there? Preacher's not stupid. Preacher knows, and God, most importantly, knows exactly what needs to be done. Because there's been times I've been asked to preach, and I've been haughty about it, and I got up thinking I got something, and I was going off of Chris Welton and not God, and as soon as I stepped behind here, the sweat started pouring off. It's like, oh, Lord. And I'm preaching or teaching the whole time I'm talking. I'm asking God in my mind, God, help me because I'm not where I need to be. Do you see? So that's where that trust comes in. Because those thoughts will come in your mind at some point through the years of the Lord should tarry. Somebody's going to get up here and preach and thoughts going to be in your mind. Why in the world is he having him preach? He ought not to be preaching. Do you know this? Same thing about that woman that came into the Lord. If the Lord knew who she was, that she was a sinner, he wouldn't let her touch him. So I understand the faithfulness. I get that. I think faithfulness is the most important thing. But let God work. Because there might be something for the man behind the pulpit that needs help and not the congregation that morning. Because what it does going to do is, I don't know if any man here has ever preached or taught before, it should scare you. Because it scares me even now. And I don't know how many messages I've ever preached, but every time I sit there, wherever church it is, my throat gets dry and I'm praying, Lord, just give me the words to speak. And because it's a serious thing. So I brought that up because I want the men, I want you to be praying. Okay? Because I think it's only the right thing to do. Okay? You're not being called to pastor. Not, just teach or preach and just get along with God. And let God lay something on your heart and give you what you need to give to the people. Because it does something for that individual's life as well. Because now they got to start checking up, making sure, okay, is everything clear in my life? Because I'm getting ready to stand up in front of the brethren. And I got to give them something from God, so it helps you do a self-purging and cleansing and examination to make sure where you need to be before you even get up here. Hopefully that's what's happening. So just keep that in prayer, okay? That's just something that was laid upon my heart. Also, look at Ecclesiastes real quick before we get into the lesson this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 8. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. Look what Solomon says here. He says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. You see what Solomon's saying? Solomon's saying, listen, don't be surprised at the perverting of judgment, the oppression of the poor in a province. He says, marvel not at the matter. Why? Because it occurs all the time, even from the time of Solomon. Take your Bible and look over at Psalms chapter 94. Good cross-reference for Ecclesiastes 5:8. Psalm chapter 94. Psalm 94, verse 20. Psalm chapter 94 and verse number 20. Actually, verse 17. Psalm 94, 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn thee innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. You say, Pastor, why are you bringing these things up? Because everything that's going on in our society right now. Right? This is nothing new under the sun, and we just memorize that verse. The perverting of judgment and justice in a province, Solomon says, nothing new. Conspiracies, nothing new. There's conspiracies in the Bible. The word is actually in the Bible, conspiracies. Bible says here in Psalms, which frameth mischief by what? A law. They set a law in place that they know is going to cause problems. So the perverting of judgment, we shouldn't be surprised at it. With all that's going on, the reason I'm bringing this up is because just... if you're just out and about, if you're just out and about, you're going to see all the craziness that's going on, especially within our government and all that. Don't let it rob your joy. Don't let it steal your peace. Don't let it take your comfort, because it takes it quick. It takes it real quick. Realize what the Bible says. The Bible says, Solomon says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice, is that not what's going on? In our own society today, in the United States of America, the violent perverting of judgment? Yes, just watch the news for 2 seconds. Violent perverting of justice. The Bible says, don't marvel at it as if it's something to surprise you. God says, don't be surprised. It's been going on since the time of Solomon, at least. and before that. So I say that to encourage you this morning, don't lose focus, because it's very easy to lose focus, and it's very easy then for the devil to come in and steal your joy and happiness and peace and comfort that God offers you. So remember that. Another cross reference you want to write down, look over at Psalm chapter number 26, verse number 9. Psalm 26 and verse number 9. Wasn't planning on looking at this morning, but God kind of just laid it on my heart here. Psalm chapter 26, and look at verses 9 and 10. Look what David says. Psalm 26, verse 9 and 10. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of what? Bribes. Brethren, it all comes back to money. Money equals power. Power equals corruption. If it's not a moral, good, godly individual that has that power, and even that individual has to be careful, because ultimate power produces ultimate corruption. So don't be surprised at these things. See, if you're in your Bible and you're reading through your Bible, these verses will come to your mind and say, oh yeah, that's perfectly what we're going through right now as a nation. There's money involved somewhere, I guarantee it. Somebody's making money off of everything. So don't be surprised in it. Just trust God. The little hymns we sang this morning, right along with this, wait on God. And the last thing that the verse that come up to me, flip over to James chapter number 1. James chapter 1. Book of James in chapter 1. Before we look at Genesis real quick. James chapter 1. In verse number 2, James 1 and verse number 2. James 1 verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. To me, that's one of the hardest scriptures in the Bible to apply. Number one, to count it all joy. That's a pretty high command right there. He says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse different temptations. You know what the temptations are? The temptations is, one of the main temptations is for you to try to figure out whatever situation you're in. And I'll give you an example in my own personal life. So Friday night, I got back to the hotel. I was out with a brother and got back to the hotel, and I opened up my email and I saw that the loan that I had put in for the house got declined. And it was like a punch in the gut. I mean, I'm sitting there in a chair and I said, Lord. But see, that was one of those diverse temptations. Those were one of those diverse trials. Those were one of those diverse situations that, look, you think you plan for it. You think you know how you'll handle it. And God puts you in that situation. And instead of counting it joy, to my shame, I put my head down and said, Lord, what's going on? When in reality, I should have been joyous over it. Because my Heavenly Father knows best. But see, I let Chris Welton move into the situation because Chris Welton's trying to figure the situation out. And I believe I was robbed of something. At that moment, at that time of testing, I robbed myself of the joy that can be found in our precious Savior. Do you see how God works? Do you see how the Lord does things in our life? And I had to repent of it. I had to say, Lord, later on, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't handle that situation right. And so if there are individuals in your life that try to help you through these situations, don't run away from it. And I'm thankful for my wife. I love her to death because she looked at me on the phone and she's like, your grade right now is an F minus. She was right. God bless her. She was right. Because the Bible says here, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, what does it do? It works patience. You see, when I take it in my own hands, I lose the opportunity to start learning patience. Because we need it. You see, these precious brethren here in the New Testament, especially James, you take John, you take Peter, you take Philip, you take Stephen. Those were men that, when he's talking about here, that the trying of their faith, they could have been killed, thrown into prison. Something very horrible physically could happen to them. I'm not in that situation. And if they can have joy in those types of situations, God help me if I can't have joy in a simple situation that my loan got denied. But verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. You see, that's where the Lord wants us to get. The Lord wants us to get to that situation, that place in our life, to where we may be perfect in this sense, that we're trusting Him in all situations, no matter what happens. It doesn't matter what happens. We have a Heavenly Father that at every moment of our life, we're in His very hand. The Lord is in heaven. He's not blind to what goes on in every one of our lives. He knows exactly what we're thinking this morning. He knows the burdens on our heart. He knows what's weighing us down. He knows the things that overwhelm us. He knows those things that cause us anxiety and rob our... He knows all these things. He understands. But don't let the devil come in and lie to you. What does the Bible say that he's a liar? And what does it also say about him? It says that he's a thief. Don't let him steal your peace. Don't let him steal opportunities for you to give glory and honor to your precious Savior. Don't let him steal the glory that only God deserves. Those are just a few things that the devil tries to steal away from us. Because he's a thief and he's a liar. And he's the father of it. So let patience have her perfect work. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for our Savior that when you fall, He helps you get back up again. And you fall, and He helps you get back up again. You fall, and He helps you get back up again. As long as you're still willing to try to get back up again. So let patience have her perfect work this morning. That why that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Other thing, the only thing you should want is be pleasing to your Father. That's it. That's all we need. We're strangers of pilgrims, just passing through. So I hope that's a little encouragement this morning. I will say this, that after I had my little pity party, God rung my bell and said, son, you need to get up and go forward. And somebody had me contact somebody else, a bank up here. And that individual up there, and you know one of the hardest times to deal with things is at night. You know, I don't know, sometimes it just seems like sometimes when you get news at night, and especially if you're by yourself, it's like the devil jumps all up in it and on it and just starts pounding you, especially if you're alone. Be aware of that. I mean, it's easier said than done, because when you're going through it, it's a whole different story. But maybe if it happens again, you'll see my ugly face, and God will bring it to your remembrance that, hey, just wait till the morning. Just get through to the morning and just rest and let God do it. I know it's easier said than done, but in the morning time, woke up, some things changed around a little bit, and another opportunity may provide itself. I'm going to work on that tomorrow. But I found out the reason the loan got denied is because if you're going to be self-employed, you could have 2 years of income as self-employed for them to give you a loan on that mortgage. I did not know that. I learned that Friday or Saturday morning. But the Lord provided another opportunity, and I'm going to try to take that step tomorrow for the same house, same loan. It's almost like the Lord saying, you got to have patience, you got to trust. Okay? And so we're going to trust God in that. I appreciate your prayers in it. We'll see what the Lord does with that. I'll try to get that submitted tomorrow, and we'll go from there. But God wants us to have patience. It's one of the hardest things to get is patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Okay? So let's look over at Genesis chapter 1 real quick this morning. We have a few more minutes left. And look at Genesis chapter 1 again and verse number number 3. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. And we are looking at how it says here in Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So I just want to finish up real quick here, looking at how wisdom, some people refer to and look at wisdom as maybe that possible light. We established last week that Jesus Christ is not a created being. And some individuals will take some of those scriptures and say, they'll refer to Jesus as wisdom, and they'll say that wisdom was brought forth, therefore saying that Jesus was created. That's false. Okay, Jesus is not a created being. He is God, and he was God manifested in the flesh. He is part of the Trinity, of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has always been and will always be because he's God. And we have scriptures in the Bible, like I said last week, that we can plant our feet firmly on and say, the Bible says it. It's right there. It's plain and clear. Okay, but I want to finish up this morning looking a little bit further at this at wisdom, and look at Jeremiah chapter number 10 and verse number Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. Jeremiah 10, and then verses 10 through 14. Look what it says here. Jeremiah 10:10. Jeremiah 10:10. We looked at last week at Proverbs 3 and how it said that the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. Now look at Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the winds out of his treasuries. Now, I don't have the other scripture in my mind, but this I believe that when God created them, everything we're going to see next week, that how he divided the waters from the waters, and there was a firmament in the midst there. I believe that the scripture showed that there's still waters out there. And it's an interesting thing. I got to look the article up again, but there's an article that NASA, or one of the space programs, put out last year, I believe it was, and they're now starting to say that they see or believe that there's water out there. That there is this sphere, that there's this water out there in the heavens, way out there. And I believe the Bible, we're not going to go through all the verses in here, but I believe that there are waters out there. And one of the reasons I think that there's waters out there, because there's verses in Psalm that says that the Lord uses waters to hide his glory. He creates darkness and waters there to keep in his glory and his light and his beauty and his majesty. There has to be something there to block that so that he just doesn't cause the whole universe to go away by his glory. Do you understand how great God is and how glorious he is? He even told Moses, Moses, you can't look on my face. No flesh can behold the glory of God and live. And I believe there's verses in the Bible that show that there's water out there. And God's behind that thing. Okay, so Jeremiah 10 says that, verse 12, he hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and he hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Stretched it out. Brethren, I'm amazed. It's almost like the Lord just stretched out the heavens. And to think that he cares about you this morning. To think this morning, the God that stretched out the heavens, that brought everything to existence, knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many hairs are on your head. We couldn't even figure out how many hairs are on our head if we wanted to. But God knows this morning the exact number of hairs. He cares for you this morning. He loves you this morning. And he is there for you this morning. The God that stretched out the heavens. Look at Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. The book of Colossians in chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Colossians 1 and verse number 9. Okay, we're going to look at this next step here. And God saw light that it was good, and God divided light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and evening and morning were the first days. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and the all-pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Bible states here that when you get saved, God translates you from darkness to light. From the old man to the new man, a new creature in him. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And therefore, you are a partaker of what, the inheritance of the saints in light. So you see this picture here. There is, and I said, look, I don't have this thing figured out. But there's this thing of darkness and light that's not a physical darkness and not a physical light that we have this morning. When we get saved, we get translated from darkness to light. Fanny Crosby says, I once was blind, but now I see. She's not talking about physical blindness and God healing you and you be able to see physically. She's talking about a spiritual transformation that takes place when you get saved. It's almost like you say the lights came on. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, the lights came on. The lights came on, and now I could get something out of God's word, whereas before I was in darkness. I could read the Bible. I could tell you about the Bible. I could tell you about Jesus. I even believe that he died on a cross. I believe that he was God. I believe he shed his blood. I believe that if you died without being saved, you would go to hell. I believe that if you died with Christ, there was a heaven that you would go to. I believed these things, but I was lost. I was still in darkness. I had a head knowledge, but that was it. I had an intellectual knowledge of some things about the Bible, but it had yet to become alive to me. The lights hadn't come on yet until I got saved. And then immediately, not only did the lights come on with the scriptures, I don't know about you, brethren, but the lights came on with the hymns and the gospel songs. And it's like it was like a whole new world after I got saved. I have never seen this before. And the Bible talks about here in Colossians, who hath delivered us from what? There is a power of darkness. God said in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God divided the light from what? The darkness. He created a division between the two. Okay? Look at verse number 15, continuing on in Colossians chapter 1. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now look, some people will go to that and see Jesus was created. No, if you keep on reading, he was the firstborn of every creature that was born, that was raised from the dead. He was the first fruits. Okay, Jesus Christ took on a physical body. He was a man. He had flesh. You could touch him and feel him, and he could touch you and you could feel that. So he took upon himself the body of a man. He became flesh. So when it says here that he was the firstborn of every creature, he was the firstborn from the dead because he rose again from the dead. Keep on reading. Verse number 16. For, again, let's stand upon what we have. Now, some will say, they'll go to verse 15 and say, well, see, Jesus was created because he was the firstborn. Obviously, he was created. No, because look at verse 16. If that's the case, then we throw the Bible in the trash can and we go do what we like to do this morning, because verse 15 contradicts verse 16. For by him, who? Jesus, were all things created. Well, who does the Bible say created all things? God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we have a major contradiction if Jesus is created. Right here in two verses. We don't even have to go to other verses in the Bible. So we stand upon what we know. We know Jesus is not created. So verse 15 must mean something else then than Jesus being created. And I believe it's what I explained, that he was the firstborn from the dead to be raised up to die no more. He was the first fruits. Look at verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, look what it says, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So you figure out what verse 15 is by just reading a little bit further on. And it explains itself that he was the firstborn from the dead. But I bring this up here is, it says here that they created, that whereby thy thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Well, when were they created? Now, we can make an application to earthly principalities, earthly thrones, earthly dominions by man, by governments. We can apply it to that. But I believe also you could have cross-referenced that over to Ephesians chapter 6. It's principalities and powers in high places. We're talking about spiritual principalities and powers. You see, there's a whole nother side to this thing that we have no clue about. There's a whole nother side of this thing with angels and the fallen angels and Satan and those that follow him and God and his angels and Michael and Gabriel. Principalities and powers, and you see this as you read through your Bible, the disputing about Moses' body, and Michael half saying, the Lord rebuke thee, and you see all these things going on in the book of Daniel, where the angel is hindered, bringing Daniel to answer from God for 21 days. You see all these battles going on, and it seemed almost some, and I'm not going to go into this morning, that there's almost like angels assigned to different nations and governments, and I say this morning because there's so much in this book that we have no clue about. So when we get caught up with what's going on in our society or on the news, we're allowing it to steal stuff from us. Because when we really realize what's going on behind the scenes, and I try to look at that too with people that I talk to, what's going on behind that person that I'm talking to right now? Is there a spirit behind that? I believe in that stuff. I believe that there's a spiritual world out there, good and bad, light and darkness, battling right now, even for us this morning. I believe that. And I'm not going Pentecostal on it. I believe there's devils out there. I believe people can get devil possessed. Just because when Jesus passed off the scene, read through the gospel accounts. How many times did the Lord heal somebody that was possessed or had an unclean spirit? Multitudes. Do we think it just disappeared after he rose again from the grave and went up into heaven, that just disappeared, doesn't occur no more? No, I think it's getting worse and worse in our society. So you say, Pastor, why are you bringing that up? Because when you're dealing with individuals, remember, there might be something behind it that's working through them to make you upset or mad. And it may not be that individual that you're dealing with. I remember one time I went downtown Charleston. We would go downtown Charleston sometimes and hand out tracts and just try to talk to people, hand out Bibles, whoever would take the Bibles. And we would usually do it in not the good areas. But we'd get good responses, and people would listen and talk, and they were respectful for the most part. And one of the brothers in our church, he had tried to start a little church down there in inner city Charleston. I remember trying to go down there to help him. But one day we came across this man one time, and he was a big man. He was big. And he's like, he come up to us, and he's like, I want to pray with you all. And immediately I said, something's not right with this man. He's like, I love Jesus, and I just want to pray for you all, and I'm just still thankful for the work you're doing down here. It was wrong spirit. You say, brother, he's saying all the right words, but something's not right. So he's like, let me grab your hands, let's pray. And as he grabbed my brother, he's my brother in the Lord, was a little bit bigger than I am. And I don't know about him, I don't think I ever asked him, but when that man grabbed my hand to pray, he was squeezing it so hard, he almost put me on my knees. And I said, something is unclean, something's not right here with this. And so I began to pray as he's praying for something going on with him. I say that to say that I believe that there's a spiritual world out there that sometimes you're dealing with a spirit that's behind that individual and may actually be in that individual. And that's Bible. You look at that little girl that was following around Paul in the book of Acts. She was saying all the right things, but Paul was grieved in his spirit, says, something's going on here. Yeah, she's saying the right things, but our spirits aren't, it ain't clicking. And he ended up rebuking her, and then he gets thrown because that was those that made money off of her, and the story goes on. I say this to say this, brethren, or say that to say this. If there comes a time in your life when you're living, and it seems like, I don't know about you, but it seems like everything's just breaking loose. Like you just can't get a hold of nothing. And it's, I don't know about you, but there's times just darkness just comes over me. And you start getting agitated. I ain't learned much, but one thing I've learned now, I have trouble putting it into practice, but sometimes I recognize usually there's something going on spiritually with somebody. Usually in the times where you get agitated, a dark cloud comes over you, all of a sudden a spirit of depression, or you feel overwhelmed, you were having a good day, but all of a sudden, boom. You're like, where did that come from? Something's going on somewhere. And I believe in those times, I believe God wants you to fall down on your knees and start seeking his face, because I really do believe something spiritual is happening. I've seen it happen. Because a few days later, I've seen it in my own life where one of my sons will be coming up to me and say, yeah, you know, God's been dealing with me. The last couple, 2 weeks, God's been really dealing with me, bringing conviction upon me. And I said, And you see, the devil is trying to get me to lose it. To where I get mad at my wife, she get mad at me, we have a fight, and all the while the devil knows what's going on because God's dealing with my son. Do you see the wiles and the trickery and the snares and the traps that the devil sets? And we think, well, it's just because you're mad at me and I'm mad at you and you did me wrong. Well, the devil could be provoking both of us, sister. Provoking you, oh, the preacher don't like you, the preacher don't listen. And he's putting thoughts in your head. You're like, yeah, he didn't even talk to me last week. And yeah, maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe he's mad at something I did. And all the while, the devil's putting thoughts in my head. Well, I wonder why that sister didn't say something to me. Amen. The devil will do something like that. And it's totally false. But he's getting me pitted against you and you against me. And we're pitted against one another. And there ain't nothing even going on there. The devil's put lies there. And he gets me mad at you. And so when I come into church, I see, ugh. And you see me, ugh. And God's dealing with a brother or sister in the back about something going on in their life, but we quench the spirit because you and I we're bitter at each other. We got strife. We got envy. For no reason at all. We just let the devil get the foothold. And we think, see, then it comes in our mind that, well, it's just about me. She did me wrong. When God's trying to get you out of you because he's dealing with somebody else. The Bible says that we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. It's how the devil works. Just a little bit I've seen of it. And usually when things start happening that way, people start getting a little edgy, something good's going on and the devil don't like it. And he's trying to cause it to split itself. So let's not be ignorant of his devices. Light and darkness. There is light out there and there is darkness out there. And I'm sorry, I went a little over this morning. But I believe these principles and these things found in God's word are very important, especially the day and hour we're living in. The devil would like nothing more for this church to close. The devil would like nothing more than you to just quit and give up and say, what's the use? Nobody cares about you. Nobody thinks about you. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Don't let the devil get the victory in your life. You fall down, get back up, and ask God to keep helping you be what God wants you to be. That light in this crooked and perverse nation that we live in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for your blessings of your word. Dear Lord, I pray that some of these things made sense. Dear God, I pray you'd help me, Lord. Lord, to put these things into practice. God, help me not to be stubborn, Lord. Help me not just to think about Chris, Lord, but help me, Lord, to think about you, to glorify you, to praise you, to lift you up, to magnify you, Lord. And Lord, that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. Help these precious brethren this morning, Lord. Help us to not be ignorant of the devil's devices and snares and traps. And let us let patience have her perfect work. And Lord, we ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a little break. Shut your legs. Appreciate y'all.